21, verse 25, beginning. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after. Now you stay right with me. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When you see these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time in your hearts, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of life, so that day come on you unawares. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, a companion text this morning. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse beginning. For though we walk in the flesh, I wonder if we really believe this morning. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly. So many times the word carnal, if you get the right translation, it lets you know it merely means earthly. I'm not talking about some Adamic nature or something else. Our warfare are not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Yeah. Here's where the real battle is in the mind. Amen. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Hold this question in your mind. Verse 7. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? Well, if you do, you're not where God wants you to be this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you look on things after the outward appearance? You study here with me again in Luke, the 21st chapter. Every one of you know Jesus had much to say about our time. It seemed like he hardly got into his discourses, but what he jumped to the period of the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Somebody said, what's that mean to you? That means to me that he's vitally interested in the very day and period of time in which I'm living. Yeah. Amen. You sum up his teaching and you'll find a great percentage of his teaching was pointed right to the day and time in which you and I are living. Amen. He had much to say about it. And Jesus would tell us, if you'll take my simple illustration, that's all I've got. But Jesus would tell us right here in the 21st chapter of Luke, the 25th through the 36th verses, if you read right on down through, he let us understand something. First of all, he let us understand if we're going to make it through church, we need what he calls spiritual trifocals. Now, some of you may not know what that is. I wear trifocals, and I'm not advertising glasses. Some of the rest of you do. There's a glass in here that I look afar off with. There's one, amen, or that I look up and out. And there's another that I look straight out as a distance. And there's another that I look down close. Well, Jesus told us here in this lesson, we're going to make it through. We need trifocals. We need an up look, an out look, and an in look.
Amen.
Come on, I just read it to you. Now he let us know that the outlook's bad. I don't believe it. Distress among nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for distress. Amen. Looking after the things that are coming on the earth in these closing days of time. The outlook's bad. The up looks good. This is a sign of Jesus coming. Now, I don't know what the end look is in your case. Now, I just want to say one thing about this text, and then we're going on. I say, he said we must have the right outlook, the right up look, and the right end look. If you come down in the 34th verse, let me read the 33rd and 34th, because that 34th starts with an and, a conjunction that ties it on to something else. He said in verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself. Teaching us what? We need to take heed first to the word of God. Second, and then take heed to yourself. Now he went on to teach us there'd be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, signs among nations. But he said, don't get excited about that, but be very careful. There isn't any sign show up in your heart. Amen. We don't need to be disturbed. Not a bit when we see signs out here. Somebody said, why? Thank God it's only bearing a fresh message to you that Jesus is coming in just a little while. One of the signs we need to be concerned about is the signs that appear in the heart. Cooling off. Love waxing cold. Getting overcharged with the cares of life. Come on, none of these signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and I'm not preaching on them this morning. None of those things need to disturb you. Thank God distress among nations don't need to disturb you. Men's hearts failing, other people's hearts failing, don't need to disturb you, but you need to get real disturbed when your heart goes to failing. When love waxes cold, when signs begin to appear in your heart that surrounding conditions is affecting you.
Amen.
I haven't time now to turn, but you take the 24th chapter of Matthew, and he led right up to this point. Very precisely. He told about conditions that exist among nations. People would raise up, betray one another, and hate one another. And he said, all you hear are wars and rumors of wars. But he said, be not troubled. Be not troubled. But when he got on right on down, he told you something to be troubled by. And he said, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Then he began to say, it's coming home now. You need to get troubled about it. I pray that God will help us this morning to see, just as sure as God's in heaven, we're getting this tabernacle, that we need to have this very picture that Jesus put before us and do what he said. Take heed if you please. Don't be worried about these things out here. They're going to pass away. The sun's going to go. The moon's going to go. The stars are going to go. Nations are going to be consumed. But brother, there's a heart, there's a soul within every one of us is going to live on throughout the sage of eternity. And the devil's program today, if you please, he's taking the world out here, and he's turned his forces against the very camp of the saints, as the revelation will let us know, surround the camp of the saints. And brother, sister, you got one thing in mind: to kill our real faith and confidence in God if he gets it done. Brother, and he's got lots of means of doing it. The cares of life, our prosperity, pleasure. I'll not go into those details, but the devil's got lots of means to work through. But he's got one thing in mind: to kill our fervency. I want your heart, if it's troubled this morning, I want it to be quieted by the teachings of God's eternal word. Paul said, thank God that the word of God was our sufficiency.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to look to carnal means.
Amen.
Now come on. Somebody said, thank God. Thank God, Brother Wilson. I'm glad we don't have to look to carnal means, earthly means. See, you get to this place I'm talking about this morning and you won't get so disturbed over conditions. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, my help comes from the Lord. I don't get disturbed. Listen, let me tell you. Too many people that testify their heart is fixed trusting in God gets too upset over the stock market.
Amen.
You find out their heart ain't fixed at all. They need to make another trip to God's garage. Amen. And get their heart fixed.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I know we raise our hands and sing, our Lord God, omnipotent reigneth, and let the earth tremble. Who am I in heaven? Who am I on earth? All it takes is just a little bit of trouble and we find out who else you got beside God. Amen. I say sometimes, I don't know if I've said this, but I've felt it. Now, we ought to have a 3-day camp meeting at least sometimes and repent all 3 days for our singing.
Amen.
Somebody said, repent of what? Repent of some of the songs we've sung. When we sung one thing and went out and done something else.
Amen.
We need to repent.
Amen.
Yes.
The devil's had quite a time down through the ages of time. I can't go back and review, but we showed you from the Garden of Eden up to our very day and time. He's been working through deceptive means, but one thing in mind, to get you and I to a place where we tremble, amen, or are not able to take the Word of God at face value and stand on it.
Amen.
Amen. So he's had a quite a time down through the ages, setting forth many signs and conditions. My friend, he's moved people by preluding the second coming of Christ. You stop and think a little bit. He had him coming back ever since he left. The morning time church looked for him to come 20 years after he left. In 2 years, they reached all of Asia and was going on a set down. Amen. Expecting him to come. And Paul had to write to the church of Thessalonica and say, don't get disturbed. You fellas think Jesus can come any hour, but he won't be here for a long, long time. There's many things got to happen before Jesus comes again.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Well, now somebody said, Brother Wilson, that was people back there. Well, you and I are just as human as they are. Since then, right up in our day and time, many people have set days and times that the Lord was going to come and went into caves and moved, you know, to a mountaintop, some did and others. And I say this with all kindness, but I just want to stir you real good. Many dear people have got false impressions and put it out that God told them. You read your old books carefully, and I don't speak this disrespectful, but I want to stir you a little bit and help you to realize, see, too much time when the preaching goes forth, we're ready, as the brother said, to use a shovel and say, yeah, that happened to them, but it won't happen to me. We need to realize that no matter how close to God you live, you're just as human as any other man.
Amen.
And I ain't going to say 9 times out of 10, but a lot of times out of 10, the first impression you get is a human one. Somebody said, I don't believe it. That's why God said, be still and know that I am God. Any of you that's read the old books very much know that Brother Warner, in all of his greatness and power and ability, yet you'll read in his books that in the early days of the Reformation, he told the brethren that God told him that Jesus was going to return while he yet lived, and told them not to build any church buildings, but just attempt to evangelize the world through the brush harbors and whatnot, because God had definitely told him he was coming, Jesus was coming back while he yet lived. Well, he lived long enough to admit that he didn't get that impression from God.
My God.
Now, somebody said, you're belittling Brother Warner. No, sir, don't you take me that way.
No, sir.
I'm merely bringing up that we might see in Bible times, in the very time we're living, if you don't want to call it Bible time, but we're still in Bible times.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother, sister, we may get impressions, and this is exactly what Jesus is talking to us about in the 21st chapter of Luke, that we get settled now. Amen, and able to put our trust in God that He can help us what we stand in need of. Many predict many things today to take place before the second coming of Christ. I'm widening out here to get a good foundation. Somebody said, do they predict it? Yes, sir. Some predict great spiritual awakenings and worldwide revivals. But I think the part of the message I heard Brother Ogden preach, he let you know that there couldn't be any Bible in that.
Amen.
Brother, there wasn't no great revivals in the days of Noah and the days of Lot.
Amen.
And Jesus himself asked the question, when the Son of Man come, will he even find faith?
Amen.
Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, that'll discourage us. If that's the condition, there ain't no need of us to work. You're not looking at it right. Since that's the condition, we've got to work doubly hard to win people.
Amen.
False Pentecostal movements take prophecies that's been fulfilled for hundreds of years and place them out in the future. And they're waiting for some morning to break forth when Jesus pours His Spirit out on all flesh.
Yes.
And my, what a spiritual upheaval is going to take place in our nation. Don't be deceived.
Amen.
As far as the universal picture of spirituality is concerned, it'll decline every day till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And while it's declining out there, while the tide of spirituality is going out down out there in the world, it's going down. Jesus is warning us that there'll be great pressure on us. While the spirituality of the world going down to a lower level, there'll be great pressure on you and I. And unless we get our faith fixed and settled in God and God alone and live close to Him, the very pressure of surrounding condition will lower the spiritual condition in our lives. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, do you actually think they're missing it that far? They only miss it 100%.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe it. At 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, if you read the first 5 verses, Paul was talking about the times and seasons of the coming of the Lord. And he said, you don't need that anybody write to you. And he went right on and told us that the religious world's going to miss it 100%. How you know? Right while they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. That's 100% missing. Right while they're looking for great revivals, right while they're looking for a time when we're really going to work, brother, our work going to come to an end that quick. So I merely say this, I want to say again, not to find fault with anyone, but that we might know by the word of God just exactly what's going on out here. There's too many people of God being affected by the false prophets.
Amen.
Brother, they're painting pictures of every kind today. And unless you get grounded in truth and know exactly for your own self what God said, you're going to be carried about. You're going to be affected. Birch Society had this move gone that we're going to have a great depression. And they're sending films out telling people how to lay up stuff in store. And of course, there's always a catch to it, and they're selling these grinders where you can grind all kind of food together and store it. Because with our population explosion, amen, we're all going to be starving to death in I don't know how many years, don't hold me, but just very few years out ahead. And they even dragged some Bible in to prove it. They give you all the picture of the Bibles it was in Joseph's time. 7 good years and 7 bad years, and we've had the good years and now the bad years is coming. Amen. Somebody said, well, what do you think about that? Well, when they come and told me that, I said, hold it, you're off the track right there. Jesus didn't say the second coming of Christ would be as it was in the days of Joseph. I don't read anywhere in the Bible about that.
Amen.
And the thing got to working among some people, and they were sincere in it and looking out for their families. Amen. Somebody said we shouldn't bother them. Well, I never said a word until it got to working a division in my congregation.
Amen.
Some people says there's nothing to it, and that offended the ones that thought there was something to it.
Yeah.
And division got to working. So when I got home, I prayed about a week or so, and God gave me a message, amen, and I just cleared it up. They came to the altar and the thing was wiped out. But I'm merely trying to get you to see this. My friend Jesus warned us in these very days of time that men's heart would fail them. And he's talking about natural heart failure. He's talking about they lose heart in God. Somebody said, I don't believe it. You read that verse where men's hearts fail them. Then read verse 34. He said, take heed to your heart. Now you know what kind of heart he's talking about. It ain't natural heart failure.
Amen.
He's talking about, if you please, such conditions coming on the earth, unless you take heed to God's word and take heed to yourself and keep your heart in tune with God, such things are going to be advocated, if you please, that'll cause you to lose heart in God, and you'll go seeking carnal means to try to protect yourself. Now I want to tell you, first of all, amen, my own human feelings, and then we'll use some Bible, plenty of it, as we go along this morning. And you pray for me. I can put shortening in because I got a long ways to go. I can see the end way out there. Amen. But I'm merely telling you the many things that will come forth. See, it's just one wave after another. It hasn't been 5 years ago till this wave hit us. You got to have a fallout shelter. If you haven't got a fallout shelter, you don't love your children. Why, you big old hypocrite, you. Don't you love your family? Build them a fallout shelter. We're all going to get bombed. And if you haven't got a fallout shelter, you ain't nothing. Well, they're sitting around all over town with the grass growing up over the doors. Just one wave after another. Jesus said men's hearts failing them because of the things that's coming on the earth. Get it fixed. That old dragon's loose. Amen. And he's out to destroy your faith in God. This battle is a spiritual conflict. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures, but Jesus said in the 17th chapter of Luke, as it was in the days of Noah, didn't he? And it was in the days of Lot. Now, I'm just going to dispel this fear, and I'm going to go on. What was, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, somebody said you're doing some prophesying now. Don't you run around and say, Brother Wilson said so-and-so. I'm just reading it to you from God's Word. Somebody said, do you think we're going to have a big depression before Jesus comes? I ain't even thinking. Somebody said, why? Because the God I serve don't know depressions, inflations. He keeps his people just the same, whatever conditions are in the world. But I'm reading to you what the Bible said. Jesus says it was in the days of Noah, a prosperous age. They were building, buying, selling, very prosperous age. As it was in the days of Sodom, a very prosperous age. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, written to the church, because you're rich.
Amen.
Rich clear to the end. Increased with goods.
God.
as it was in Sodom. Ezekiel the 16th chapter and the 49th verse. Let's read about that and we're going on now. Amen. I want to get to some of the simple teachings of Jesus this morning. He in his wisdom saw it was what people needed to inspire their faith, and I believe it'll inspire ours. In Ezekiel the 16th chapter and the 49th verse, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now come on, it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Somebody said, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, you say whatever you want, but I'm going to stick to right what the Bible said. Amen. Somebody said, well, if God just let a good old-fashioned depression come, people turn to him. Yeah, they turn to him with worldly sorrow. And as soon as the depression was over, they'd be gone again. Brother, God does not ever force you. He may use circumstance to bring you to yourself, but he'll never force you in any way to come and serve him. Why? It's an impossibility to serve God as he wants to be served because the pressure's put on him. Now let's face facts this morning. God knows no depressions, no recessions, and no inflations. The 37th Psalm. I'm reading quite a bit of scripture this morning, but I don't want anyone to go away from here and say, Brother Wilson said. Please don't do that. If Brother Wilson said something, why, well, I'll tell you Brother Wilson's saying it, but I'm reading scripture. 37th Psalm, I'm reading several verses, and this ought to settle some of you down. Somebody said, I don't believe that's what he means, the things coming on the earth. Well, I've got my son and his wife both work for the Big Bear grocery company. And all there has to be is just something come out in the newspaper that's the least threat that that Cold War in Vietnam going to get hot. And man, they sell all the sugar they got in an hour's time. Even though they had hundreds of pounds. Somebody said, how come? Well, they remember sugar was short. So everybody run, get 200 pounds, get 300 pounds. See, that's what I'm talking about. My, what a life people is living. One eye glued on the television, the other on the newspaper, and their ear in the radio. I've got to dump this thing. I've got to get the sugar before they sell out. I've got to get my money out of the bank before it folds up. Now, God don't want us to live like that. In the 37th Psalm, I want you to notice these encouraging words. I read them again this morning. They meant much to me. Fret not. I'm going to read the heading of these verses first, and then we'll read the verses. Verse number 1, fret not. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself. Verse 5, commit thy way. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger.
Amen. Amen.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Oh, Brother Wilson, you don't know what the communist is going to do. Tut, tut, tut. Why, you're in much better shape than I am. The first fellow they'll kill when they come to Church of God preacher. Fret not because of evildoers. Well, I remember several years ago, I thought it'd be good for the church to see a film of what the Russians was doing to the Christians and how they treated them in prison. And I thought it'd make them appreciate their freedom. Well, this fellow gave quite a talk, and he had his prophecies all mixed up. Some great enemy coming in from the north, and my goodness, he had our women ravished in the streets and the babies being thrown up and caught on bayonets, and whew, he had the saints plumb scared to death. Hey, man, and he had it so real it looked like he'd be, they'd be here for a morning. We wondered if he was going to make it home. Well, when he got all through, I got up and I asked him, I said, I'd just like to ask you one question, brother, if you don't mind. He said, all right, Reverend Wilson, go ahead. I said, what's Jesus going to be doing all this time? Fret not. Well, somebody said, I ain't there yet. Well, you need some help. Fret not.
Amen.
A dear sister, not long ago, someone took her somewhere to see a religious film on communism and what it was doing, somewhere away from here, and she come home and just about had a nervous collapse. The thing got a hold of her in such a reality. They brought her out the house for me to pray for. And I said, sister, you need to get your fear straightened out.
Amen. Amen.
Now God said, fear not.
Amen.
He that can destroy the body. And that's what you're afraid of, sister. But fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And if you'll get to the place where you really fear God and reverence him, you don't have to fear nobody else. Come on, church. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Somebody said, I'd like to get on some security. I'm preaching on it. Eternal security. Not once in grace, always in grace, but eternal security. Whether you put your trust in the Lord, amen, he'll see that your needs are supplied here, and when your work's finished here, take you to a better place than that. There couldn't be anything more secure than that. Let's read a little more. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give ye the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. And he'll bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Oh, what admonitions in this psalm. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. You read right on down through the 25th verse. I feel I mustn't stay here any longer. I want you to see what all God's promised to do for you. There the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In John the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, somebody said, what's this got to do with divine healing and trust in God? Just wait a little bit. In Matthew, out of the 6th chapter, you turn there and get the simple words of Jesus. While I quote John 16:33, what did Jesus say? In the world you'll have tribulation. I want to tell you something, friend. If God ordains you or I to go through poverty, if God ordains you and I to go through affliction or sickness, there ain't no way you can prepare against it. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Mark it down. But be of good cheer right while you're having it.
Praise the Lord.
For I've overcome the world. Well, who'd he overcome it for? For me. He didn't have to overcome it for himself. He had it whipped before he come here. Now come on, let's study. Everything Jesus done, he done it for us. The world was created by him. everything in it. He didn't have to come down here and overcome it for his benefit. He reigned over it before he came here. But he come down and took on a fleshly body and overcame it in the flesh. And he done it for you and I.
Amen.
Now in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, and I expect some of you going to giggle when I turn to 6th chapter of Matthew. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, you preach more on them birds and fowls. Well, when Jesus wanted to inspire somebody's faith, this is where he took them. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the 19th verse beginning, I'm reading several scriptures and I want to get right into the lesson here. Jesus spoke some things that will do well for us to consider. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Amen. And you've heard the preacher say many times that moth and rust, amen, gets right in the spot where most of our money's spent for. Clothing and automobiles, and the rust gets the automobiles and the moth gets the clothing. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, I preached on this the first morning, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I begin to get some sound truth here, and we need to let God draw the line on us this morning. No man can serve two masters.
True.
Now come on, but the church of God today is going to prove to God they can.
No, they're not.
Now come on. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one. Now come on. And he made one master mammon. Earthly riches. Do you really hate it? Do you really hate it? Pass the collection again. Let him get rid of that old stuff. Now come on. Come on now. Come on now. We'll get right in where you're living for a little bit. You don't hate it as much as you say you do.
That's right.
Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, he said love less. Tut, tut, tut. He said hate.
Amen.
Now you're grinning at me, and they do that everywhere I preach along this line. You know why? I'm giving your God a good slapping. Let me read it. No man can serve two masters, but the devil will get you believing you can. We've got more people that's going to hang on to God, but yet they're hanging on to mammon at the same time. And they kind of feel that they're getting a pinch and they ain't got enough faith to get help from God. Old mammon's going to take them through. But Brother Jesus said, you cannot. It's impossible. No man can. Serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And he let us know what the two masters were in this lesson. God and mammon.
Amen.
Taken from an Aramaic word that means earthly riches.
Amen.
Somebody say, well, what's that? Your possessions. Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, I got it, but I'm not serving it. Fine, I'm glad you're here. Now you can help me pray that I can get it across these others. You know the rest of them needs it. So may God help us. Therefore, let's read it closely. You cannot serve God and manna. Therefore, this is the reason Jesus said, I'm preaching all the rest of this sermon.
Yes.
To let you understand that you can't serve God and manna.
Amen.
Therefore, I say unto you, I'm going to read it all, and then we're going to take it apart. Take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, yet for your body. That's not a broken record. I want you to get it. Yet for your body. See, church, we've got some going to do.
Yes.
The beginning of this preaching of this camp meeting has been trying to help you to get faith, to get some help in your body. But you get where Jesus wants you to be, you don't get no thought about the body. It'll already be. Somebody said, now, Brother Wilson, the scriptures in there teach about body. Well, let's just take it as a word. I'm preaching this morning on anxious care. God wants us delivered from it.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Therefore I say, take no thought for your life, what you eat or what you drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on. Somebody said, he's just talking about what you put on the body. Now, wait a minute. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? See, you already got trusting him for your life. You already trust him with your body. Now he's going beyond that and say you ought to be able to trust him for some raiment to put on if you're trusting him for the body.
Amen.
See, he's getting out to some of the fringe edges here. We want to get out there and come back in. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, but taking thought, can add one cubic unto stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And you know very well I'm not capable of going to the depth of the teaching that Jesus set forth here. But I want you to go down just a little ways with me and get some understanding. I want to say again, he made it plain that no man could serve two masters. And when he started down through from that 19th verse and got on down, if you'll notice very carefully, my friend, he set the whole section up or divided the whole rest of the chapter into three parts. In a threefold repetition, and both of them was based on taking no anxious thought, if you want to get it from the Greek, no anxious thought. Listen to him. He said, therefore, verse 25, take no thought for your life, no anxious thought. And the reason for it, we mustn't take any anxious thought, because the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Secondly, verse 31 and 32, he says, take no thought. Amen. How come? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Verse 34, take no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Jesus would teach us this morning, Church of God, that anxious care is contrary, first of all, to the lesson of nature. You get these three pictures now, and I'm going to preach on all three of them. First, it's contrary to the lesson of nature. Take no thought. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Secondly, it's contrary to the principles of the gospel.
Amen.
to have anxious care. Take no thought, for after these things do the Gentile or the unbelieving world seek. Thirdly, take no thought, because it's contrary to the very scheme of God's providence. Take no thought of tomorrow. Contrary to the very scheme of God's providence. You look in the teachings of nature here when he says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life, what you'll eat or what you drink, yet for the body, what you put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, you shouldn't. I preach on that. He was just talking to some disciples back there that got too upset over what they're going to eat and what they're going to live on. And where they're going to stay. Well, brother, I'm here to tell you these are the things that fills the mind of men almost all the time they're awake yet today.
Amen.
These are the things that draws the mind of men away from the teaching of God's eternal word right while the minister is teaching. Jesus lets us know here in this 25th verse, first of all, I say he broke it down in three parts and gave us a lesson on nature and lets us know that being anxious about our livelihood here, amen, is contrary to the teachings of nature. If you look there, in verse 25 and read right down through verse 30, he'll let you know that it's contrary to the teachings of nature. Listen to him. He said, your anxious care in providing things that are needful to life when the life itself is from God. He went right on and said, you're obliged to trust God for your life and for your body. Amen. Now, his words were, is not the life more than meat? Somebody said, what are you getting to him? He letting us see this morning, you trust him for the foundation. How about the superstructure? You trust him for the greater. How about the less? This is what he's getting at here. He's counting these things that so take the mind of men today as lesser things.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And since God has given us the greater things, will he not give her the lesser things?
Amen.
Is not the life more than meat? Yeah. A God that can give the life? Do you think it would be too hard for him to furnish the meat?
Amen.
To keep the life going? A God that gives the body, it's in him you live and move and have your being. See, I don't have to get up, thank God. I don't have to get up. As some people say, if I just could have a witness and know that God is still with me. Brother, sister, let me tell you, I judge my spiritual life just the way I judge my physical life. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have to tell my wife, get a newspaper, see if I'm in the obituary column. I want a witness to know I'm alive. Now come on, I want to help you this morning. I didn't have to call down to the four undertakers and see if they've got Emerson Wilson in the back room. I want a witness to know whether I'm alive or not. Man, the minute I woke up and my eyes worked and my hands worked.
Amen.
I had a witness that I was alive. And the same thing can be just as true spiritually. Thank God, by the very actions and attitudes of your heart, when you wake up every morning, if your heart's still fixed on Jesus, if you still got a hatred for sin, if there's a consecrated feeling down in your heart towards God, if you can say, Lord, I want to live this day for you. Brother, you can rest assured you're still alive. You don't have to go pray. You don't have to read the word to get a witness to see whether you're still alive or not. Now the life's more than meat. God's trying to help us get our thinking straightened out this morning. When God bestows a thing, he bestows all the consequences of the thing right with it. When God bestows the greater gifts, he sends the little gifts right with it. This is what Jesus is telling us. Well, I don't believe it. There wasn't a babe born into the world this morning. But what if that mother didn't take some shots or pills or something else to dry the milk up? There wasn't milk appeared the same time the baby appeared.
Amen.
Brother, God not only gives life, he supplies that which sustains life.
Amen.
Physically and spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say you can't just put your trust in God in that manner. This is exactly what he wants you to do. Just as sure as we're here. So when he gives life, he swears by that gift. This is what Jesus is telling us. Is not the life more than meat?
Yes.
Thank God he's given you life. The very fact he's given you life ought to be a witness to you that he's going to give you what you need to sustain life.
Amen.
God's not a heavenly father that gives you life and tells you go out and pick the best you can.
No.
Now he said, is not the body more than raiment? When he gives you the body, he's going to take care of the necessities of the body. This is what Jesus tells. He does not stop halfway in any of his bestowments. Here's a couple familiar scriptures. How that will bring the very truth to your mind. Romans 8, 31 and 32.
Yes.
Paul talked about many things that we had to go through and how we groaned within this body, waiting for the redemption of our body, when we could really have the liberty as the children of God. And he come right on down to verse 31 in the 8th chapter of Romans. And he said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, is he saying he just give us everything? I know people run off with that and say, you're a real child of God. He'll give you a four-bedroom home, and my, what they do talk about. Let's look over in 2 Peter. We can learn what the all things are. 2 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse. I want to nail this down. I'm going on. 2 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life, mortal life right here, and godliness through the knowledge of him.
Amen.
Now, brother, if you really believe that this morning, you ain't got a thing to worry about.
Thank God.
Everything I'll need to live and godliness. Don't tell me he isn't talking about both kind of lives there.
Amen.
I wouldn't need any more scripture than this to prove that divine healing and supplying the necessities of life is right in the plan of redemption. God came to supply the needs of the whole man. He said, I would that you prosper financially.
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
Physically.
Amen.
Even as your soul prosper spiritually.
Amen.
Now it's already been given. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, you think that God will give it to me? It's already been given.
Amen.
According as his divine power hath, past tense, given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
You go back to the 6th chapter of Matthew with me hurriedly this morning and let Jesus talk to you just a little more out of his word. Amen. Sometimes I read these things, I become ashamed. Somebody say, why? Well, letting the birds do a better job than I do. Go back here with me. When Jesus speaks here, we ought to learn just a little something this morning. He said in that 25th verse in the 6th chapter of Matthew, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. Consider them now with me this morning. They sow not, neither do they reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I brings the fowls up in reference to food. Feed, feed, feed. And he brings the lilies up in reverence to clothing. Look how they're clothed.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, if we could just get a man come around that really had the gift of faith, he could inspire faith. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say you need a preacher that can preach to you. He said you need to go out here and catch a sparrow and watch him. And go somewhere and take a look at a lily.
Thank God.
I'm saying again, he brought up the fowls of the air in reference to food. And he brought up the lilies and the grass through verse 30 in reference to clothing, speaking of two different needs that we have. Now look here at the fowls. They sow not, neither do they reap or gather in barns. He come down to the lilies, he said they spin not, neither do they toil. Yet Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. What is the consideration in Christ's lesson here to us? Here is a specimen, the fowl. Here's a specimen of inferior creation.
Yes.
But yet, since they're inferior creation, God uses divine care on them. Amen. And after he uses divine care on them, he turns right around and says, are you much better? Are you not much better than they? Amen. Look at the lilies. Somebody said, why did he bring up the lilies? Friend, he's letting us know that he's not just giving us what's necessary. He's letting us see that God does not just give us scantily, not in mere measure, for bare existence. What did he bring the lilies up for? Did you ever eat any? Did you ever have cooked lilies down to your house? Or roasted chrysanthemums? What are they here for? Come on, he said, consider the lilies. Nothing more but a decoration and a beauty, letting you know that God would go beyond the bare necessity and give you beyond that, if you could only believe it. Well, I drive through some of the bare mountains and I look at that ground, it's right straight up on one side of the road and straight down on the other, and man, you look at it and you say, a man couldn't eke out a living there in any way. But brother, you go there in the spring of the years and there's flowers popping up all over. Well, that ground's wasted, it ain't good for nothing. But God just has flowers pop up all over. And what for? What for? So when you're driving along, you can take a look at them and get your faith inspired in God. The very flowers, if you please, go beyond the very bare necessity. I believe that God wants his people to have beyond the bare necessity.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe God would allow trials and circumstances come upon, but I'm preaching the rule this morning. God wants you to go beyond bare necessity. Now, don't miss the lesson. Too many misses the lesson right there on the fowls and the lilies. I know they do because they talk to me sometimes. Somebody said, well, brother, them birds and them lilies, they've got it made. Look at their free and untoilsome lives. They're superior to ours. I wished I was a lily. Now Jesus said, you're better than they. You've missed the lesson.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll get what he's trying to get to you this morning. He said, you're much better than they. Verse 26, so don't ever go around feeling sorry for yourself and wish you was a sparrow. You're much better than they. And then there's another fellow said, man, they got it made. They don't toil. And them lilies don't toil and they don't spin. Yes, sir. But you do.
Yeah.
That not toiling, not spinning, not sowing, and not reaping's for the birds.
Yeah.
Now come on, I just read it to you. That's for the birds. But God give you human reasoning. You got enough sense to toil and labor, and you got barns to put stuff in. Now, if God takes care of a bird that don't sow and toil, how much more better you can live if you do toil and work with God's blessing on your life. Too many people want to live like the birds. They need fire put on them. The same Bible that said, consider the bird said, if a man won't work for a living, he's worse than an infidel. And the church shouldn't give him a penny. And his wife shouldn't fix him a meal because he ain't worthy of anything to eat.
Praise God for the truth.
Where were these religious fellas? Supposed to be teachers of God's word and leaders of healing campaigns, trying to teach a people that if you really sell out to God, you can live like the birds. Jesus never even insinuated such a thing. He said the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't toil, they ain't got no barns, and God takes care of them. Now how much better would he take care of you, since you got enough sense to work and you got a barn to lay up some things in?
Praise the Lord.
Now you're not going to live like the birds. You're a human being.
Thank God.
You come just a little farther. He said in verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father. See, God isn't even their heavenly Father. He's just their creator.
That's all.
How much more will your heavenly Father, if a creator will take care of his creatures that good, how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? My, my, my. I say, when he said your heavenly Father feedeth them, I say not only we're above them in the prerogative of toil, we have a human reasoning to the extent that we can labor and lay up, but brother, we're far ahead of the other creatures by our relationship to God. He's our heavenly Father. I repeat again, he's their maker. And if just being their maker, he lavishes his goodness upon them to the degree that he does, how would he ever forget his child?
Yeah.
I want to tell you this morning, God wants to do for more for people, and they'll let him.
Amen.
And the third thing, that we're way ahead the birds, they cannot trust God. Come on, a bird ain't got no faith. Well, they can't have any faith. You're way ahead of the birds. You may not feel like it, but you're way ahead of the birds. They can't put their trust in God in that sense. They can't operate faith in God. But you and I can. They're just in a realm of nature God ordained, and that's the way they're living, and thank God they are. I say today, dear ones, we doubly ought to be guarded against corrosive care by the lesson of free, joyful nature about us on every side. I say every time you get up in the morning and hear the birds singing, you ought to break out and sing three or four verses. If he can sing one, you ought to sing three. How much better you are than they.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what am I going to sing? Well, you can make up your own words. I sing my own sometimes. I have no fear for famine, poverty, or want, because the one that feeds the raven when they cry will feed me. He said he would. And if he can't get no person to feed me, he'll make the raven carry it to me. He did to Elijah.
Thank God.
Somebody said, I don't think you're better than the raven. The raven was old Elijah's servant.
Right. Yes. Sure.
I don't know if he had bird feed or what he had, but brother, he got food. Amen. Will you come down to verse 30? When he looks at the last inferiority. My, my, my. I said I can't get the depth of this to you, but I want you to see something here. In verse 30, look at this last inferiority. This very third part of this lesson. when he said, take no thought here. He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith? Now look at the grass. He clothes it. Yeah, he put that green coat on it. But it's just here today and gone tomorrow. Just be a little bit till it's cut down and thrown in the oven. Now God will take pains to take care of every blade of grass and put a coat on it. When he himself knows it's just going to be here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he supply your needs and clothe you that's going to be here quite a little while and then live forever throughout the ceaseless age of eternity? Minute detail is what he's trying to get to us. I always keep before our people, there's no need of getting in a dither over conditions the world is in. There's nothing to get upset over because man's gone to the moon taking pictures of Mars. Somebody said, ah, Brother Wilson, they're going to change the seasons. No, they're not. Going to get after a while where you can't tell summer from winter. No, it's not. They're going to be winter, summer, seed time, and harvest time till Jesus comes. They're going to change things. No, sir. The sky's still blue. As I told you the other morning, the grass is still green. And the birds still sing the same song for us they sung for Adam. I told you the other morning, you ain't never heard a bird yet singing rock and roll. The word of God's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The real things of life have never changed one bit.
Amen. Amen.
They're still the same. Nothing important has changed. Jesus went right on to teach us that anxious care, my friend, was contrary to the principles of the gospel. Somebody said, now you're going to get hard on us. No, I ain't going to get hard on you. But let's read it. He let us know that anxious care was contrary to the principles of the gospel. Listen to him here in verse 32 and 33. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, if I read anything there at all, I'm reading this, that we mustn't seek earthly things. Unless we seek them in a secondary position, and we've got to be very careful there. I'm saying anxious care is contrary to the principles of the gospel. Not only nature, it's contrary to the principles of the gospel. Somebody said, where'd you get that? Verse 32 and 33, if you'll read them, you'll notice three clauses here. After all these things do the Gentiles, the unbelieving world, seek. Secondly, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Thirdly, seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added. You won't have to seek them. If I understand the Bible at all, the Word of God all the way through tells us not to pray for material things. They're to be added.
Amen.
And when I need material things, I need to seek the spiritual things in a greater way.
Amen.
And if I'll do that, God will add the material.
Oh, believe it. Amen.
Well, Brother Wilson, I'd be afraid to say it worked that way. Well, I've tried some of these things. I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Anxious care about the future, Jesus would let us know, is at the bottom, and we get right to the bottom of it. He lets us know it's heathenish and worldly mindedness.
Amen.
For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Now I believe the church ought to be ought to be able, and men and women ought to be able to see the church separate and distinct from the world today by the things we go after.
Amen.
This is one of the real marks of the church, by what we're seeking after. Too many cases, the world hasn't been able to see one bit of different. The heathen tendency is in us all to a certain degree. Somebody said, how does it work? It leads us to overestimate material good, and it'll show itself in either heaping up earthly treasures or in anxious care about what's going to happen to you. The gospel was sent to help us cure worldly temperaments and master circumstances. Yes, sir, I believe the gospel came for the whole man. Change the whole man. Give him a different kind of life. The reason many are so careful and troubled about things of this life, we have to own the fact their hearts have taken on an earthly direction. And they're going after the same things that the Gentiles seek. Many people say, you know, they're so living and they're so built on the earthly foundation while they claim they're living for God. And they got themselves so tied up in earthly things that they say, brother, all it needs is just this happen, and that'll be all she wrote. Well, this is exactly what I'm preaching again. I want you to get to the place where it makes no difference what happened, that won't be all she wrote. You'll still have something to read and stand on.
Amen.
Amen. We're too limited. Just as sure as we're here. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, you just talk for yourself. Well, I'll testify along too. But it's the work of the enemy that caused us to become cabin and confined to the limits of the natural and the visible. Paul said, do we look on things from the outward appearance? And it's still a good question yet this morning. This is contrary to our profession. Jesus letting us see that this is contrary to the principles of righteousness, and it's contrary to our very profession. I told you a little bit ago, we may sing that we have none on earth we desire beside thee, and none in heaven but thee. But it's not always true. The heathen thought of God, if you'll notice what Jesus said there, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. The heathens thought of God, if you study as they go before their gods, their thought of God is that he's far removed from their perplexities and anxieties. He don't understand their needs. And so they prostrate themselves and try to get it across to their God that they have need. That's the way the heathen does. That's the way the Gentile does, Jesus said. But your heavenly Father, you need to know this morning, your heavenly Father knows your needs.
Amen.
The reason so many people are fearful is because they're afraid God don't know what they need. Amen. That needs to be dispelled. He knows what you need before you ask. Amen. And he's a present help in every time of need. He's not a God that's afar off. The devil make you feel he is. And if we're not careful, we'll be screaming like the heathens do. He's a present help in the time of need. Somebody said, how present? Right down here. Well, I don't pray to God in heaven. I pray to God in my heart. Well, I don't believe it. Jesus said, pray our Father who art in heaven. He was then, but Jesus prayed they'd get him out of heaven, get him in the heart.
Amen. He lives there.
Sure, he lives right there. when you live in holiness and righteousness.
Amen. True.
Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. I'm so glad for that this morning. Now, this is the reason he said not to seek for it. Come on. All he said in the Bible, seek for spiritual things. Seek for spiritual things. Seek for spiritual things. And then you start talking about material things. You say, I know. I know. See, your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. Seek the spiritual things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need these things.
Amen. Thank God. He supplies it.
Your Heavenly Father knows, he said, that you need. I want to read it. Verse 32. I'll hurry. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want you to see this morning, Father's knowledge is coexistent with Father's love. He not only sees we need him, he'll supply him.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe it. He said, you seek first and see. I'll add these things.
Amen.
He not only knows it, he'll add them.
Amen.
And you don't have to say a word about it. You get busy about spiritual things.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Jesus knew right in his lesson here that it'd do no good to teach men that birds would teach him to trust alone. He knew it would do no good to scold them by telling them, amen, that distrust is heathenish. He went farther than that. His way was found in verse 33. His way was fill a heart with a supreme desire, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and there'll be no room for care about the lesson.
Amen.
I'm going to say it over again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let your spirit stretch out towards the divine and blessed reality of being a subject of God's kingdom and a possessor of his righteousness, joy, and peace. Stretch out on that. Go at it in a more fervent attitude.
Amen.
And the more I know from experience, the more you go after the righteousness of God, laboring for God, fulfilling the mission that God saved you for, the less and less you'll have any concern about earthly things, and you'll find they just work out. They just work out. They just work out. They just work out. They just work out.
Amen. That's true. Amen.
It is a want of this experience, a want of firm conviction that God and God only is enough for me that makes men careful in trouble. I say thank God he's sufficient for me. He's with me forever. The scripture said he never leave me, forsake me unless I leave him. The satisfying object of my desire and the glorious rewards of all my searching found in him. We can get to a place this morning, thank God, we can say with the Apostle Paul and others, let life, let death, let riches, let poverty, let health, let sickness, let circumstances come upon us. But in all this, I'll be confident. God is within my heart, and his presence brings whatever I need. I want you to get that present help in the time of need. Let me say it again. God is within my heart and his presence brings whatsoever I need. The blessing of faith and felt communion leave no room for anxiety. If God be for you. Friend, we've only got one thing to be really concerned about this morning. We'll get concerned about that and deepen down in it just as sure we're here. Thank God these other things will certainly move in a back position and we'll have greater victory. Last but not least in this thought here, the very scheme of providence. That verse 34 said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Right here, friend, there's more people are robbed of peace and victory and the joy of salvation by letting the devil carry you away to the future and wondering what you're going to do if such and such a thing happens. Now Jesus said, therefore, still hinging right back to the beginning of our message, therefore, since you can't serve God and mammon, and since you say you're serving God, therefore, don't let the devil carry you over to a thought of the future, for every day's got sufficient evil of itself, and God only gives you grace according to the day. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. So you've only got enough strength for today, and God brings up tomorrow or next week. You don't get a bit of strength for it. You tremble when you look at it. Amen. And it don't help you a bit to work out tomorrow. All it does is rob you of today's strength. You wasted today's strength thinking about tomorrow. You've heard me tell you time and time again, the devil tries to build them things in my mind sometimes. Brother, before I really understood how to handle him on some things, he used to get me crossing bridges that was out ahead. Amen. And I found out he's a liar, just like the Bible said. When I got to that place, there wasn't even a creek, let alone a bridge. That's right. But he had me shaking. What are you going to do when you get to that bridge? And I had to come back to the place and really obey the word of God. Take no anxious thought about tomorrow.
Amen.
Live today clear before God. Live today in a wholehearted manner before God. Live today with full faith and confidence in God. Brother, this is God's divine scheme of divine providence. He's ordained that we live a day at a time. He taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." I teach our people all the time. Certainly God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up in spiritual things, but in one sense of the word, he still wants us to remain little children when it comes to putting our faith and trust in God. He never wants a one of us to get big enough to take care of ourselves. He wants us always to be little babies and holler, "Daddy!" He gets glory out of that. He wants it that way.
Amen.
Why, somebody said the Bible said he wants you to become mature Christians. He wants you to be a perfected saint. Well, if you'll study the Word of God as it really is, all your perfection in truth does is bring you around a place where you take a more humble position and put your trust in God in a greater way.
Yes. Amen.
God's our Father.
Amen.
Thank God for it. He'll take care of it. I say anxiety about tomorrow does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. It does not bless tomorrow. It robs today, saints. Sufficient for each day that Jesus said is the evil. Don't drag tomorrow's in today. You got enough for today. There's enough evils to contend with today. It'll take all the grace and strength God gives you today to overcome today's evil. You'd be surprised how many things would change in your life if you'd only do it as the Lord's willing. And how much more victory you'd have. How many more trying circumstances you keep yourself out of.
Amen.
If the Lord will. I'll do this and that. I'll do this and that. So he lets us know in the Word of God that as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I'm going to jump out here. God gives us strength to bear the sorrows of his making, but not of our own. God makes a way out of every temptation he allows to befall us, but there's no way out of our own. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't believe it. You read 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter real close. He tells you with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. But brother, if you allow yourself to get into temptations, I don't believe it. Go with me to James. How's a man tempted? He was speaking of a temptation here where you're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. And brother, that ends in sin every time. He goes right on, shows you conceptions made, and go right on till sin's finished, and it brings forth death. See, I have to face the fact right now, I'm not in a bit better shape than Job was. Within 24 hours, I can lose my good companion, my whole family, my house. Everything. Everything. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, I've got things fixed up pretty good. I've got insurance, so they won't do you an ounce of good. In seconds of time, something could befall you that go beyond any insurance you got of any kind. Amen. Got a letter right now from one wants to pray that has been sued for $250,000. A couple hundred thousand beyond what her insurance policy covers. She stands at a place of losing everything she'd got and be tied up for years to come with all she could ever make. It's only the mercies of God I don't get in such a shape. Well, I don't believe it. Brother Bud Miller isn't here this morning in our congregation. Right down below the church building, he stopped at a stoplight and was sitting there, the motor idling. And a lady was stopped in front of him. And he was talking to his wife, and he didn't notice that the car just creeped ahead, just barely creeping, and it bumped her bumper. And he got out, and he said, I guess nobody's hurt. And she said, that's all I wanted you to say. She was one of these. She's had about four or five cases in the courts and won several thousand dollars. She sued him. $85,000, $35,000 more than his insurance covered. Had a doctor that works with her, said her neck was in back shape. A lot of the congregation didn't even know that. I carried the burden with him. Amen. And the lawyer said it looks bad. Said it looked like they're going to take everything. Said it just looked like she's got a case. Said she's just been winning them like this. But it was only the mercy of God. We got down and prayed and we fasted over the thing. And thank God, God took a hold of it and turned it around. Amen. And got it to come down to a settlement that the insurance would take care of it. But I'm here telling you, we never know. I can drive right on that highway and getting something within an hour that'll put me in clear over myself, head, hands, and feet. Now somebody said, what do you say all that for? Just to boil down to this, you have no security if you haven't got it in God. Just have no security if you haven't got it in God. Haven't got it in God. God wants us to put our trust in Him. I had to learn this. You've heard me tell you time and time again how the devil used to worry me to death. I quit a good job when God called me into the ministry. I never had any social security till the government took me for a real task on that. You know, people going around saying, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you. It sure will. Don't you ever get that idea, because I got hurt. This way people treat the gospel. Well, I know enough, and if I don't know no more, I won't be responsible. Don't ever say that. Ignorance of the law excuses no one. You're not going to be judged at the judgment of what you know, but what you could have known. Well, I don't believe it. It works that way in the natural, and it works that way in the spiritual. When they come out with Social Security for ministers, Brother Robbins was here from Dallas, Texas that year in the camp meeting. Don't hold me to the years now. And I asked him, I said, is it compulsory? He said, no. He was an executive. He said, I'll go down here to this office and get you a paper and let you read that it's voluntary for the minister. If he don't want to sign up, he don't have to. So I read it. I said, fine, I don't want to sign up. My trust in God. I'm not looking for a Social Security, so I won't sign up. So I went along, and last year, getting the income tax filled out, they said, you want to send your Social Security in too? I said, I don't have any Social Security. Well, you have to have. I said, no, I don't have to have. It's voluntary for the ministry, and I decided I didn't want it. No, it ain't voluntary. Four years ago, they changed that law, and it's compulsory for everybody now.
Yes.
Ministers and everybody else.
Yes.
Huh? Well, I went down to the Social Security Board, and they got it out and read it to me. Well, I said, I never seen it. Said, that's too bad, Reverend. We had it in the newspapers quite a few times. Well, I said, I'll certainly start in and pay it. No, I said, not till you make up them 4 years.
There you are, buddy. You can get by.
Well, how much is that? I said, $1,500. Well, I said, I'll see if I can get the money. Oh, wait, we ain't through yet. Of course, you get fined for 4 years.
Interest.
Well, I didn't know it. Well, I said, that don't excuse anyone. We advertised it. Well, the same thing's true about the gospel.
There you are.
Amen.
Amen.
And I had to pay right to the line. I didn't know a thing about it. That don't make any difference. They made a law.
Yes.
See, I don't hardly ever read a newspaper. Somebody said I should, but I don't really know what's going on. But I certainly learned there. Brother, I really know how to preach on ignorance of the law excuses no one. Now what am I saying? Man, we're living in a world where they're changing the laws so fast that even the lawyers don't know what they are.
Amen.
And I wouldn't doubt it, what you and I break some laws two or three times a week. Not even know it. Somebody said, what do you bring all that up for, friend? I'm trying to get you to tell if you try to line up to the condition of this world and fix yourself, amen, secure, you'll get baller-headeder than I am. Amen. And die a nervous wreck and go to hell. But if you'll sell out to God, you can live every day with an assurance. Whatever happens. Whatever happens. God's the master of it. And I'm in his control. And I'm in the spot I'm in because he saw it necessary to put me in it. And I'm trusting him to take me through. This is God's ordained plan for mankind. Back in the types when he led old Israel out of Egypt. Where was the first place he brought them? Over in the wilderness. What did he bring them over there for? Brought them over there where there wasn't a shoe store, a clothing store, a supermarket, a drug store, and no doctors.
Amen. Nothing.
And somebody in the bunch got sick. What did he say? I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You don't need nothing. Come on. When they needed food, let Brother Dickerson preach to you on God feeding them people the manna, and it'll raise you right out of your seat. He looked into those statistics and saw that when he fed each one an omer, amen, those 6 days, and then on the sixth day brought a double load. He had it figured down to the number of people. How many train loads? Six train loads. 60 car train it would take to haul that much bread in. Come on, by weight. And on Friday, he brought in two trains. I'm talking about a big God here. Come on, he supplied their every need. What did he want to teach them? That God could be their all in all. 40 years, they wore the same shoes. I can't figure that out, brethren. If you, brethren, can figure that out, you help me here so I can teach it better. But I get hung up there on that 40 years wearing the same shoes. I know them fellas looked funny that had baby shoes on. Them little babies when they went over a year old and 40 years later had them baby shoes on yet. I can't figure that out. But the Bible says so and I believe it.
Amen.
so much of it I can't figure out. But thank God he didn't say, if you understand it, you can have it. He said, if you believe it, you can have it. I believe it.
Yes.
Just like that.
Yes.
Now we get back to the beginning of our message and we'll close. Men's hearts failing them. Get the picture. Not physical heart failure. Somebody said we've had an upsurge of it. I believe it. Because of the perplexity, because of the fast living, because of the strain. See, God made this body. You can go out and saw wood and chop wood and dig ditches, and it'll build you up physically. But you work at situations where you're under pressure and under strain.
Yes.
Amen, and it'll tear you down physically. That's why men don't last long in the ministry. If they take a real burden and get right at it, they don't last very long. Why, the strain, the pressure, different kind of work. I'm saying today the hearts that's failing, if you read the whole lesson, get down to 34, he said, take heed to your heart.
Yes.
That it don't become overcharged. What was he talking about? Your soul, your spiritual condition.
Yes.
It'll get overcharged with the cares of life. Your love will wax cold and your heart will fail. And you'll not be able to grasp God as you once did.
God.
Father, if we could only know just how your heart of love beats in pity for us this morning. If everyone in this audience could only understand how you're really reaching to help them this morning. My God, we pray you rebuke the devil. Rebuke the spirit of unbelief. Rebuke human reasoning. Rebuke every contrary condition that would hinder your people from receiving that which thou hast given through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for these exceeding great and precious promises by which we've been able to be partakers of the very nature of God. And we're glad that through Jesus Christ, you have given us all things that pertain to life right here and godliness. How we thank you for such a complete and perfect plan of salvation. My God, help us each one this morning that by the simple words of your scripture, that our faith can be inspired in a greater way to just give up. Quit struggling, quit trying to make our own way, and give up to thee, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, and hunger and thirst for heaven, Lord, we'll not have to worry about things of this world. My God, I pray you'll bless your people this morning. Let people receive the help they stand in need of. We beg you in Jesus' name. And we'll give you the praise. Let us stand.